lastly, before we start, we have our Sunday school manual. The new one we're going to start in 2 weeks' time is $10. If you need a copy, Pastor Boze has it. Thank you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's wave our hands unto the Lord. Let's wave our hands unto the Lord. Worship him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Worship him.
Worship. Oh,
Lord, you are mighty.
Lord, you're 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 mighty.
Lord, you are mighty.
Lord, you're mighty.
Let the joy of the King rise. fire.
Sanctify by glory and fire.
Majesty, majesty. Please put your hands together as I make welcome Prophetess Joyce Sani.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring it a little bit further. Praise Jesus. Our God is an awesome God. You know, with all of this, the way my husband is introducing me, he was the one that took me to the church where I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. He took me to the church where I gave my life to Jesus. He said, this is a nice package. She looks good, but she is a heathen. She needs Jesus. And Lord, I will not propose to this fine babe until she gives her life to Jesus. He didn't tell me that. Amen. He was saying that in his mind. But as the Lord will have it, that very day, glory to God, Holy Ghost just grabbed me and I gave my life to Jesus. You know, I really thank God for my husband because he taught me the very beginnings of my faith in God. And the things that I know today is based on the foundation that I had. Amen. So, you know what? They can be wanting me in Sacramento and all those places. He is still, glory to God, my pastor. Amen. He is still my apostle. And if the apostle doesn't send the prophetess, she can't go anywhere. So, Pastor, I honor you this morning. Amen. I thank God for your life. And I pray that the work that the Lord has committed into your hands, into our hands together, it will not fail. In the name of Jesus. Salvation Center cannot fail. Because it is a church of covenant. Hallelujah. It is not the Redeemed Christian Church of Adekoye Sani. And that's something we always rejoice in. It is not the Redeemed Christian Church of God, of Joy Sani. But it is the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Amen. Let's bow our hearts this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor you. We thank God for who you are. Because you are the I am that I am. The Rose of Sharon. The Lion in the tribe of Judah. Who can question you, Lord? Who can demand you to do anything? But you sit in heaven and you do whatsoever you please. Father, we beseech you this morning to let your word of life come out. Let it not be by the wisdom of man, but that the words that are going to come out today, it will be spirit and it will be power. And it shall transform the life of the people. And the people may come closer to you. And that we will all make it to glory in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. You may be seated this morning in the name of Jesus. I have 23 minutes to bring you the word and to prepare it and make sure that you digest it this morning. There is a question that has been around for centuries, a question that people continue to ask on a daily basis, something that from the very beginning of time, they have asked that question. And that question is, why does bad things happen to good people? Amen. Why does bad things happen to good people? And this morning, the title of this sermon is Peace is Not the Absence of a Storm. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Why does the righteous suffer? Why does good things happen to good people, bad things rather, happen to good people? Why does the righteous suffer? You know, many Christians, when they're going on evangelism, they tell the people that they should come to Jesus and you shall be trouble free. Come to Jesus and all your troubles and all of your problems will be swallowed up. Well, they're wrong. Tell your neighbor they were wrong. They will say there is peace in God. There is peace in God. Yes, there is peace in God. But peace does not mean the absence of a storm. Peace is knowledge and control, understanding that this too shall pass. That's peace. Peace is the lack of panic in the midst of a storm. Because Jesus was on the boat did not mean that there was no storm. Because Jesus was in the environment did not mean that the storm did not rage. No, it didn't mean that. It meant that as Jesus was in the storm, he was sleeping. Say to your neighbor, that is peace. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. If you can give me the NIV, I will be grateful. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. And it says, without warning, a furious storm. Pause there for a second. This is, I don't know about you, but I am a real Christian. When I say real, I don't mean like, oh, I'm real as in glory to God. I mean, I face the truth for myself. And I know what it's like to be able to see and be in a situation where you are not expecting it. And before you know it, you are smacked upside the head and you are finding yourself in the midst of a storm. The Bible is saying to us here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, without warning. You see, it's easy for us to be to have a time to prepare. You know, when there was going to be famine in Egypt, the Bible said that the Lord had given the king, the Pharaoh, a dream. He gave him an opportunity to prepare. And then the Lord brought Joseph into his life, a man that God had prepared to warn him and to interpret the dream, not only to interpret the dream, but to say, this is the solution. That is not a storm. That is, we're getting ready to go for a vacation and we need to save. That is planning. But the Bible is saying here, in the midst of Jesus, it says, without warning. I don't know about you, but I have gone through things in my life where I was not warned. And it hit me so bad, I felt like, you know what, Lord? It is better that I am not in Christ, because this was not what was told to me when I was coming in. I didn't sign up for this. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. The waves were swimming over, they were coming over the boat. And the Bible says, but Jesus was sleeping. That is peace. The Bible says that Jesus was sleeping. Without warning, there is a furious storm that comes into our lives. But is it possible for us to keep composure when we are going through a major disaster? I don't know about you, but in this last few years that we have started pastoring this church, we have seen some unwarned situations that nearly took our heads off. But God was letting us understand that there is something about the presence of Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. The difference between myself and an unbeliever is not problems. The difference between myself and an unbeliever is not problems. The difference is that I understand what I'm supposed to do when I am in problem. The difference between myself and an unbeliever is not the trial. Because we both have trials. The only difference is their trial is different from my trial. For example, I never have to worry about HIV. Because I am in a one-on-one relationship. The world, on the other hand, who is still on the dating field and is sleeping with A, B, C, and D, the problem and the trial might be HIV. Oh, help me, Jesus. But for me, I have my own share of trial. So the difference between myself and an unbeliever, Karshina, is not the trial. The difference is that the Bible promises that there will be this situation. The Bible says that trials and tribulation will occur. But the difference between myself and that unbeliever is that Jesus is in my boat. Oh, I don't know if you heard me this morning. I said the difference between you and an unbeliever is that Jesus, when something comes and it's without warning and it's furious and it hits you so bad, the difference is Jesus is in your boat. The master of the universe is sleeping. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in my boat. The yea and the amen. The one that was, that is, and that is still coming is in my boat. The one that demons recognize as the Son of the Most High, he is on my side. The difference is that when situations happen, people that are HIV positive, since we're using that as an example, they can depend on drugs. They can depend on healthy living, making sure your gum doesn't bust up and all kinds of stuff. But the difference between someone who may have HIV and that is a Christian now is that we have seen in Christendom that it is possible for us not to have to live on that medication, but that the God, there is somebody that pastor knows that's very close to him, went to the Holy Ghost camp in Nigeria. In fact, the person was supposed to be coming to the United States, and before you come, win the lottery, before you can come, you got to go through a series of tests, and one of the tests is HIV. If you're HIV, your lottery can be in your pocket because you ain't bringing that up in here. So they went and they discovered that he has HIV, and he was like, oh, well, you know, it's over. Then one day he went to camp, and the word of the Lord came out that says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but God will deliver them from all of it. And the word of the Lord came through our general overseer that there is a person here that is HIV positive, but you need to go back because God has turned your situation around. God has brought a solution. The difference between me and an unbeliever is that Jesus is in my boat. Oh, somebody give God a praise this morning. Give God a praise this morning. I am not living a life without trials or tribulation. The Bible promises me, if we look at Psalm chapter 34, Psalm 34, verse 17. I want us to read 17, 18, and 19. Chapter 34, verse 17 says, the righteous cry out. It didn't say the unbeliever. It didn't say the heathen. It says the righteous, the one that Jesus has already saved. It says they cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Let's go on. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And not brokenhearted meaning that you're sick with love. Brokenhearted as in you have a contrite heart. You know who's up. You know who can help you. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. My God. I don't know, maybe you've never been through trouble, but I remember, I don't want to mention all my trouble. Some of them are obvious to you. You have seen it, and you have seen that we've gone through the troubles. But there was one particular year, they said, I had a business, and they said that, oh, I'm the one that killed the patient. Not only was I going to go end up in jail, that's probably the better one. And it's not jail, it's prison. I would have lost my nursing license. And not only that, I would now be in prison for murder, or at least manslaughter, or whatever they call it. And I'm like, Lord, for real? Lord, this is for real. Like, I understood finally what the psalmist Asa was saying, that why is it that it is me that is serving you, that is having these types of problems? Why is it that an unbeliever that was working for me, that does not serve you, went and complained and said it was me, and nothing happened to them, but me, the pastor of the man you, the wife of the man you called, why is it that it is going to be me that's going to go through this? The scripture of this month is Psalm chapter number 3, verse number 3. What does it say? Somebody in here this morning? Oh, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. This is the scripture of the month for us. But I understood that scripture a very long time ago. Because even up till now, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know how many of you, see, the devil tried to kill me many, many times as a child. I remember that one day I was such a, the kind of child that I was. In fact, thank God, none of my children, I thought that maybe the twins were a little bit close, but I exceeded the twins by far. I was troublesome. They would tell me, you can't go. I said, oh, I can't go? That's all right. I will go in the car while they're not looking, hide under, and then I'll make sure that when they go far into the journey, they can't turn back, because, you know, if it's about 5 minutes, they can turn back and say, I'm taking you back home. I make sure that they're well into the journey, and then all of a sudden, I just jump out. Ha! You said I can't go. Here I am. Get rid of me now. I was a bad. I told you, by the time I was trying to baptize my niece, and I almost killed her, drowning her underwater. If it was not, you know, there was something feisty, and I needed to learn how to channel all this feisty into what God has really called me to. Finally, thank God that I'm living the life of Jesus, and all of this feistiness is to preach the gospel. Amen. I did that same thing that day, and boy, they couldn't turn back. I don't know how many of you, this is a testimony to the glory of God. It is a testimony, because if people don't understand that real people, real Christians are going through trials and tribulations, then we will be like, okay, you know, everything is rosy. No, it's not always rosy. I don't know how many of you have seen my finger. If you've never seen it, well, here it is today. I want to say it to the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. I did that exact same thing. I jumped in the car. The person was going to fix the vehicle with a machine that they call in Nigeria a forganizer. And so I went there, jumped out. I went to the thing. I'm pulling it. The belt is like the belt of like a lawnmower. And I was pulling it. Well, you know, child labor in Nigeria, the little child who was operating did not know that I am the one, that a child was there. So as I was pulling it, playing with it, the boy went there and started the machine, pushed on, and before I knew it, bam, my finger was off. For very many years, my mother would weep. Oh, this girl. In Nigeria, if you have missing a part of your body, it's over for you. They call you something. They say there's this word that they use. They call you alaboara. It's over for you. That means you're handicapped. Handicap does not fit in the society in Nigeria. So my mom would cry. She would cry. She'd say, oh my gosh, she's not gonna ever get married. Who's gonna marry this girl? And she'll call me Alabora. Who's gonna marry her now? Oh my God, my life is over. This, my little girl, is never gonna get married. The very first thing after I went back to Nigeria, you know, I grew up with my husband and everything. The first thing that my husband asked me when I first got home was like, hey, that your finger? I was like, really? Why did it gotta be the first thing you remember? But to the glory of God, the Bible says that in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, it says, what does it say again? What does it say? Come on, it's our scripture of the month. Are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my hand. Stand on your feet this morning. I want to let you know that it doesn't matter what the situation look like. I may be an alabora. I may be somebody who don't have a half of a finger, but my husband saw it. He said, let me look at it. I'm looking at it, but I still want to take you to the aisle. I still want you to walk down the aisle. I want somebody to understand today that God says many are the affliction of the righteous, but God will deliver them from all of it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, these people under the sound of my voice, each and every one of us have something that we're going through. Father, you did not say we will not go through, but you said you would deliver us. As the hands are stretched this morning, I decree and declare that it be the word of God, be spirit, and it be power, and it be life unto you, that it will transform you and transform your destiny. That destiny that the devil said will not come to pass, I bypass everything that is stopping it in the realm of the spirit by the blood of Jesus. There is a blood that is speaking on your behalf. And an unbeliever is that there is a blood that is speaking for you. Let that blood manifest in your life right now. Every situation, every unanswered prayers, everything that is not of God that is supposed to be, you are not going to toil all night to catch nothing. Amen. There's some of you right now, I feel it so strongly, you have been toiling, but no result. No result. You're toiling. The Bible says that Peter toiled all night and caught nothing. But when Jesus came into his boat, his situation transformed. If that is you, forget that it's me speaking to you. But hear the word of the Lord. Reach out right now and grab that situation is transformed in the name of Jesus. You will not toil all night to receive nothing. You will not toil all night to receive nothing. You will not toil all night to receive nothing. You will receive. You will receive. You will receive. There shall be a manifestation of the Son of God in your life. in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise and we give you glory. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.